the benefits are the amount of people whose lives I'm able to have an effect on. So that's the whole reason. You know, it goes back to my intro into personal training. I wanted to make an impact in people's lives the way my first physical therapist did in mine.
Did you ever notice that two things can be true at the exact same time? Hey there, I'm Jessica. I am a therapist by day and a writer, speaker, podcaster, and personal development enthusiast the rest of the time. But really, I'm just one of your virtual gal pals chatting it up about life. I believe that we are all on our own unique journey and that we don't fit into just one category. We all have an and. This podcast will feature inspiration, motivation, and interviews with people just like you who are living into their and, as well as the stories that got them there. Inside these episodes, you will find the tools that you need and the inspiration that you crave to live into your and too. Thank you for letting me be a part of your journey as you build a life that you love to live. Welcome to Brutiful Journey, the podcast. I am super excited to share this episode with Dre Penn, aka Coach Dre, personal trainer and owner of Pro Fitness RX in Glendale, Arizona, which is actually a personal training studio. By the way, he also happens to train me and my husband too. It was really fun to get to talk to him about his philosophy and his life because normally I'm mostly just trying to get out of doing more push-ups. Seriously though, he's just a wonderful human and I'm so grateful to know him and grateful to share his story with you today. Here we go, Dre Penn.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Brutiful Journey, the podcast. I'm super excited because I have as my lovely guest today. Lovely is a weird word to say for you, but my lovely guest, Dre Penn, who is the owner of Pro Fitness RX in Glendale, Arizona, which is a local personal trainer gym. Is that a good way to describe
personal,
that?
Personal training studio. Yeah.
Personal training studio, and also happens to be my personal trainer, which makes me feel super fancy, although we just had a session, so I'm real sweaty right now and not fancy. But I'm excited that you're here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So first question is like really important. Am I the most frustrating client you've ever had?
Absolutely not.
Is my husband?
Your husband is up there.
We don't need to talk about him, but he's pretty frustrating.
You know, every client comes with their own challenges and their own issues, but it's part of what makes what I do interesting.
True, so. Very true. Well, this podcast is titled Brutiful Journey. So I always like to start by asking people like, what is your journey? And I like to phrase it like, what's the story of Dre? How'd you get to where you are? Like, what are the steps? What are trials, tribulations, all of that fun stuff. So can you tell us the story of Dre?
So for me, one of the things that a lot of people see as something that I had to overcome was being born and raised in Compton, California. So that, I mean, everybody has heard of or knows something or some sort of reference back to Compton, whether it's NWA, Dr. Dre, or whatever it is when it comes to Compton, there's some sort of stigma that goes with that.
People go, oh, you're from Compton?
There's usually that. So that would be step one, which to me, you know, I never experienced that. That's just normal. It's just growing up, mm-hmm. walking down the street, walking to school, just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. As far as I've come, the real dream started in high school when I left Compton, left California, ended up in Omaha, Nebraska. So that there was a huge culture shock, culture shift, and it really helped to kind of mold me into where I am and who I am today. Personal training was not always my first desire, my first dream. Football was. Mm-hmm. As a lot of people growing up or a lot of kids or whatever, that's always that athletic background. Mm-hmm. Really played a big part of my upbringing, you know, my discipline, my work ethic, things like that. Mm-hmm. 15 years old, going into my junior year of high school with high hopes of scholarships and recruitment and Division I football, I blew out my ACL. Mm-hmm. First game of my junior season, and couldn't play football, basketball, no sports the entire year. Mm-hmm. That was my first experience I had with a physical therapist. That was probably one of the most life-changing experiences that I've had because of the way that my therapist helped me recover and rebound in so many ways, as far as my confidence in my physical abilities, as far as the strength that I had, the work ethic that I had to put into to getting back to playing football. So that right there is what really molded and started me into the journey of where I'm at as far as my career goes now. I started school. I ended up getting a scholarship, played a year, or my freshman year of college ball. I blew my ACL out again.
Same knee.
Ugh. Second time, 3 years. It was more mentally challenging than physically challenging because, you know, you put that much work into something that you really want, and then to just have it ripped away all within seconds.
Well, and it's like an identity.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I play ball. That's what I do. That's who I am.
That's how people knew me. You know, people, even people who didn't know me, I just had the look, the attitude, the swagger, I guess.
You do have swagger.
Of a football player. So that was my identity at the time. So after that second ACL, it put me in a not so good place. You know, I went into a dark place. I went into a little bit of a depression there, and didn't really know where I was going, because at that point I felt like I lost my scholarship. That whole dream of making the NFL was out the window. What am I going to do now? So that's when I drew back on that experience I had with my first physical therapist. And the way that they coached me through that first injury, the way that they got me back mentally, physically, and everything. I still rehabbed after my second injury, but football wasn't as much of a priority for me at that point. I started to shift my mentality more towards getting my degree so that I could potentially go into physical therapy.
Okay.
Excuse me. I did try football one more time because I'm stubborn.
And because you're an athlete.
And because it was my identity.
Yeah, yeah.
I blew my knee out a third time.
If you guys could see me, I just dropped my head. Come on.
And at that point, three strikes, you're out. Yeah. Like, so that was it for me when it came to ball. I had other opportunities to do semi-pro ball, you know, walk on and try out football at different colleges and things like that. And it just wasn't for me anymore at that point. That was when after that third surgery and ACL tear was when I got real serious about my degree.
Okay.
I ended up online looking at ways to boost my resume for physical therapy school once I graduated, and that's how I stumbled upon online personal training certifications. And that's what actually led me into a gym, where I got my first job as a personal trainer.
Do you still want to be a physical therapist?
I have no desire at this point.
Yeah. This is so much more like preventative, I think. I don't know if, you're nodding your head. They can't see you.
Yeah, sorry. Yes.
But that, like, that's kind of, and that's how I look at therapy too, is that it, if you want it to be, it can be preventative as opposed to like something is wrong, I need to fix it.
Right, but then there's also a lot of therapeutic aspects to what I do as well. I've worked with multiple high school athletes who are in the same position that I was in, where they've blown out a knee or torn a rotator cuff in their shoulder, you know, Tommy John, tennis elbow, where they're rehabbing so they can play baseball again, you know, hockey players, volleyball, ankles, and things like that. So I get to do a lot of the same things that a physical therapist does, but I'm actually able to take it to the next level.
That's cool.
So it's not just, you know, when I worked with my physical therapist, with insurance, you get X amount of sessions to see your therapist. And after that, the out-of-pocket expense is just, it's through the roof. So once those insurance sessions are done, you're pretty much on your own. And that's where I was. I was 4 months into a 6-month rehab, and I had done everything that my therapist was able to do with me, and I was at the YMCA gym around the corner from my house, rehabbing, finishing my rehab by myself. So essentially what I can do now is I can take someone, I usually don't get them right out of surgery, but coming from that 2 to 3 months out of surgery, post rehab, when instead of going through that level and getting yourself back into competition on your own, now I can take you through those steps, through those progressions of the different things, movements, explosive, mobility, those different things that you need to do to get back into, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's track, whether it's just going back to work, mm-hmm. so that you can, you know, do a warehouse job or, you know,
pick up your kids,
just small things like that, you know. So that's why I chose to stick with the personal training.
So do you not everybody has like an exact answer to this, but if you were to describe your ideal client, is it somebody that's rehabbing, or does it depend on, is it somebody that's rehabbing, is it somebody that's preparing for something in particular, is it somebody that's just like I waltzed in and I was like, I just want to be a better version of myself? Like, do you have an ideal client like that?
That mindset right there of I just want to be a better version of myself is what I look for.
Okay.
You know, because of comfort, because of my background, mm-hmm. working with athletes is always, you know, the initial excitement.
Right.
You know, the first thing that I thought about when I was starting to get real deep into the personal training. But it's the everyday people. It's the the moms, it's the wives, it's the husbands, it's the couples who just want to come in and become better versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. So ideally, working with an athlete is always great, but you know, the percentage of professional athletes that I could work with in the world is very small.
Right.
Whereas, you know, the percentage of people who can't get out of bed comfortably mm-hmm. in the morning without hurting, or mm-hmm. walk up and down their stairs at home without getting out of breath, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be more the majority of that.
Very true. Very true. Okay. So how did you get into, like, the business aspect of it? What drew you to that? Because and I guess when I ask that question, being a personal trainer in itself is a business, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're like managing your own clients, running all of your own things. What prompted you to make it overarching and own a studio?
The studio idea came after I decided to become my own brand, my own business. The first gym that I worked at, I didn't have the greatest experience working for the owners.
Okay.
I didn't feel like I was valued for what I could bring and what I was bringing to mm-hmm. their facility. So mm-hmm. that prompted me to just kind of step out and take my chances on my own. Because I felt like if I could do what I was doing as my own brand for them,
excuse me,
I could do what I do as my own brand for myself.
True.
So that kind of prompted me to take that leap of faith.
Well, and that's, I mean, I talk on this show specifically to a lot of like small business owner, local people. Like, I love Arizona local business owners.
Right.
And there's so much like freedom in that. Like, you definitely work a lot, don't get me wrong, like mm-hmm. you work all the time.
Yes.
And if you need to take time off, there's not like, oh, I'm gonna put in for PTO and hope it gets approved. You just move your clients around and
right.
you can do whatever you need. So that's kind of cool.
That flexibility is nice, but I'd be lying if I didn't say it also isn't a scary thing to not have that, you know, that PTO, that sick time, and those things to fall back on. Because as your own business owner, if I'm not working, then I'm technically not making money. That there's no, not.
Well, and what a tough year this has been
for
that kind of a thing, right? Particularly like small business owners in general, but particularly gyms.
Right.
I mean, that definitely is a
challenge.
Yeah, for sure. It was a pretty big blow, I mm-hmm. think. So
it was, but you know, you have to, how's the saying go? You got to play the cards that are dealt to you.
It's true.
So as things just kind of started to happen and started to unfold with the rising of cases, because it got real bad in mm-hmm. Arizona for a while, you had to adjust and just kind of mm-hmm. work around, work through, work over, work with, work underneath, or just figure a way to do it. Because, you know, even though everything was at a standstill, life still has to continue on.
It's true. And I think that, you know, I am not a scientist, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a doctor, I don't understand all of the ins and outs of COVID and all of those things, but I think that in general, staying healthy, like, in my mind, has to be one of the best things that you can do, mm-hmm. either to prevent or to treat or whatever, and so, you know, the physical part is a big piece of that.
It is. just the boost in the immune system you get from moving your body on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even have to be crazy exercises or high intensity, but just, mm-hmm. you know, getting up, going for a walk, going for a jog or whatever mm-hmm. it is, going up and down the stairs at your house a few times.
Yeah.
Whatever you can do to move your body, it would definitely help, especially when it comes to fighting off any type of illness or sickness.
Well, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I don't know the things, but when the shutdown first happened and everybody was quarantined and all of the things were closed, at least in my neighborhood, everybody was outside. They were mm-hmm. like constantly walking, riding bikes, because that was the thing that we were allowed to do.
Right.
And I feel like it must be connected that our cases really started going up when it got hot and everybody went inside and were just binging Netflix instead of binging most of the day and going for a walk.
Right. I agree. I think that again, that exercise, that movement component did a lot for keeping people healthy, for keeping cases down, for keeping people active. It sucked being, you know, 110, 115 outside and you have to just stay in the house.
Yeah.
So it was a tough time.
Yeah.
It was real tough going for a while here.
Well, and you and I talk about this a lot, just because of the people that we are, but it also was an effect on your mental health, you know, to,
absolutely.
I mean, COVID in general, and also to not be able to move, because that's I hate to admit this to you, but it's a huge part of my self-care. I can't believe I'm saying
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. That's so much growth there.
I know.
That's so much growth. From the day you walked in to where your mindset is right now, it speaks volumes
yeah.
to the way that I feel about how exercise and movement can have such a change on someone's mentality.
Yeah. Well, I've come a long way. I'm super proud of myself.
Yeah.
I've, like, leaps and bounds come
yes.
a long way.
Yes. Completely different woman from when I met you a few years ago.
Well, that's true.
Definitely. So, but yeah, the movement aspect does... It does have such an effect on the mental and the psychological components of a person. You know, I feel like it's one of the important pillars of taking care, and it has to be thought about and has to be maintained when doing self-care. So that's why I feel like exercise, bike riding, hiking, running, whatever it is, it's all a part of that, you know, mental clarity, mental self-care as well as the physical.
Mm-hmm. Truth. Truth. I agree. Well, and also, you know, your trainer can be your therapist if you need them to be.
Yeah,
it's
part of it's part of something that I learned when I got into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't, you know, some of the courses that I took when I got my degree from ASU actually touched on the mental aspects of it and the behavioral aspects of it. But I felt like I would experience it, but I never thought that I would, you know, just get flooded with some of the things and some of the emotions that people bring in,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I know for me, like, there's so much, I think power is the word that I want to use, in the physical release that comes, like when I come in and I'm like, I've had a really bad day, and you're like, well, then let's slam the medicine ball a million times.
Yeah.
It, like, the actual physical release of that emotion, whatever it is from the day, like actually coming out, I think there's a lot of power in that. So
there is. So there's that actual aggression side of it, of where you get to kind of release some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also, you know, the physiological aspects of the endorphins and the
yes.
hormones that are released just from getting your heart rate elevated, contracting muscles, moving around. You know, it's so underrated
mm-hmm.
in the happiness of a person.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
Well, and I also, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, the idea of self-esteem is built quite a bit on, like, accomplishment. I don't know that that's really the word I want to use right now, but, like, the first time I was able to actually do a 30-second plank without wanting to die, like, I was like, oh, it's been 30 seconds already?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it's like building blocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that you can keep building on those blocks is if you do it consistently, which before I waltzed into this place, I just didn't do.
Right.
You know, I would expect to just be really good at it right away because, you know, I was a dancer or a cheerleader or whatever.
Right.
But you have, like, it's the consistency piece that's a big deal. And that's the, like, for me, that's the mental game.
It is. That's sometimes the toughest part for people too,
mm-hmm.
because when you walk in and you expect to be good at something, and then, you know, I throw these curveballs at you because I want to test your limits. I'm right. going to push those boundaries of what can you do, what can't you do, mm-hmm. where's that line mm-hmm. where you feel like you're actually about to die.
Right.
We're not going to cross that line, but we're going to get as close to it and flirt yeah. with it as much as possible, because that's when, you know, that boost in self-esteem, yeah. that boost in confidence comes of, I can't believe I just lifted that much weight.
Yeah. It's like the time where you made me lift, I don't even remember how much it was, but I was doing like sumo squats or something mm-hmm. like that, and you're like, don't look at the weight, yeah. just do it.
Yeah, because there's such a mental aspect yeah. to it as well, that people start to get into their head, you know, they'll look at a weight, they'll pick up a weight, and the initial thought is, oh my God, this is heavy.
Yeah.
It's just too much. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And before you even like give it a good effort, mm-hmm. you've already talked yourself out of it. And I'm a big believer that the mind achieves whatever, or the body achieves whatever the mind believes. Mm-hmm. So if your mind is already telling you can't, your body is just going to follow mm-hmm. suit. But if, you know, that's why I like to play games like that with people, mm-hmm. you know, I'll tell you, you're going to plank and I won't give you a time limit. You can plank until I get tired.
That makes my anxiety go so high. That's the worst.
It is, but at the same time, you can't talk yourself out of, this is going to be too long. I can't do it. You can't think that way because you don't actually know.
True. Well, and one of the things that I tell people when I refer them to you is like, he just does this really beautiful job of pushing you, but also listening. So like, if there is something like, cause you know, I have issues. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm like, yeah. whoo, like not like real talk, I think that I don't like this. You don't make me do it. Right. But also if there's something like, I don't know, throwing a ball against the wall outside yeah. and like having to catch it, you're like, you're fine. I'll stand right here and catch it if I need to,
yeah.
but like, let's give it a try. So I think you do that in combination very well.
Yeah. So it's just about being flexible and being diverse in the movements and mm-hmm. patterns and exercises you want people to do, realizing their limitations. And again, just finding ways to push it. I think yeah. another big one for you was the sled.
Yeah. the sled is the worst.
You thought that the sled was actually going to kill you, and we found ways to push, pull, drag, shimmy, shake, whatever it is we got to do to get mm-hmm. the sled moving. But you've done it on numerous occasions.
Yes.
But that was a huge obstacle for you.
Well, and now that the weather's getting better, I'm going to have to do the sled again. I'm going to have to flip a tire again.
It's definitely all coming. Yeah.
I know.
We're not consistently out of triple digits yet, but once we are, you'll be out there.
All right. I'll do it. All right. So the whole premise behind that, like the reason why I started this podcast, is because I have this belief that everybody has an and.
Okay.
And so I think that looks different for different people. And I also think that most of the time we have more than one. And I actually just posted this blog post about how I feel like I've lived all these mini lives in my one life, and I just am like a very different person in like all of these things. So the question that I ask is, what do you feel like is your and? And there's no wrong or right answer to that. Where like, what are...
That can go in so many different directions.
I know.
Just, you know, just off of what we've discussed so far, there's so many ands. So my ands, I consider the different hats that I wear when I'm working. You know, I'm a personal trainer who can work with, you know, people 50 and up and people 15 and under. I'm a nutritionist who is, you know, well versed in counting macros and doing keto and paleo mm-hmm. and whatever other, you know, fat diet
whatever is next
is coming out right now. I do movement and I do therapy mm-hmm. With people. So, you know, the and is, it goes just so deep just in the personal training mm-hmm. aspect. But I'm also a personal trainer and a business owner who mm-hmm. you know, I manage and facilitate a property for 9 other trainers to operate their businesses out of. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know trainers, all trainers have their own type of ego, their own, and all people have their own personality. So that's a different task on its own mm-hmm. because you walk into a company and you have a boss, a owner, or a manager, mm-hmm. and their employees work underneath them. Mm-hmm. So this is different because no one here works underneath me, mm-hmm. but I have to find a way to manage all of the people
right.
as a coworker, but also as an owner as
right.
well.
Well, and it's almost like a landlord.
Yes.
That, like, I know that they don't have, like, this square is mine,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I mean, it's a similar idea,
right? It is.
Right?
That's exactly what it is. It's a property manager or landlord. I have to, you know, repairs and things in that nature and upgrades and all of that. It all falls on me, but it's also, managing personalities, you know. People don't always get along.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy. I've never seen that.
Crazy concept. So, you know, you put 9 people in a room who all think they're smarter than the person next to them, and there's going to be a lot of different disagreements.
Yeah.
So just keeping everyone straight, everyone in line, and everyone cohesive is a challenge.
Truth.
Interesting. So.
True. So what, I'm going to ask this both ways, what do you think of all of those ands of, you know, wearing those different hats, managing the people, being a, like running your own business and also like overarching other mm-hmm. people's businesses? What are the benefits of that? And then also what are the greatest challenges? I think that you touched a little bit on what the challenges are,
yeah.
but like,
the challenges are like I said, it's just the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just finding, there's no way to make everyone happy. So
no.
it's always about middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's middle ground where I can tell my employee, this is what it's going to be, this is how it's going to be. It's got to be more of a, you know, everyone's involved, we're going to talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all sit down and have a powwow, you know, around a bonfire or whatever.
So you need to be a therapist again.
I have to be a therapist again to 9 adults, and it's grown people who act like children. But you know, that's the challenges. The benefits are the amount of people whose lives I'm able to have an effect on. So that's the whole reason. You know, it goes back to my intro into personal training. I wanted to make an impact in people's lives the way my first physical therapist did in mine.
Okay.
So now as a personal trainer, I get to, my own clients, I get to make that impact in their lives, as well as I'm housing 9 other trainers
mm-hmm.
who get to make that same impact in their clients' lives.
Well, and it must be, like, probably different because you don't know the other trainers' clients personally, but you, like, you know, I see the same people here. We all, like, you know, Tuesday night,
mm-hmm.
here's this group of people that work out on Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be cool to get to watch people's growth from a distance as well. And just,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm here all the time. So,
yes, I know.
So you know, I know who to expect to come in at what times on what days. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just being here, I do develop relationships with them and I do get to interact with them and watch their growth and
mm-hmm.
their changes and their transformations, and you know, even get to know them on a slightly personal level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the backgrounds, the families, you know,
mm-hmm.
what's going on, you know, where people are from, vacations, just, you know, some small talk but on a deeper level
right.
as well. So it's really nice.
Well, and when you, I mean, I think that there's a lot of value in small talk. Like, I know that we don't always love, like, sitting in the back of the Uber and being like, yeah, great weather, but,
right.
like, how, if you're talking about somebody that you're building a relationship with, you don't just jump right in.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like, so tell me your deepest, darkest secret.
Right.
Nice to meet you.
Right.
So I think that, like, you have to get through those layers first
mm-hmm.
as you build relationships. I think that's an important part of building trust.
Right. And especially when you see someone changing throughout
mm-hmm.
that process,
mm-hmm.
changing for the better, because
yeah.
everyone that's in here is in here to better themselves.
Right.
So if you can get to know them on that level, but then see them grow
mm-hmm.
and change and start to become something different, you know, you see people walk in with their heads a little higher when they're
mm-hmm.
starting to hit and achieve their goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're hitting a new PR, a new a heaviest weight on a lift, you know, they walk around a little confident there.
Yeah.
You know, you get to chat, you get to tell them congratulations.
Yeah.
So it constantly builds and builds
yeah.
on that relationship.
This is just a random curiosity. Do you ever feel compelled to like correct somebody else's client if they're doing something wrong? I always wonder because I'll be like doing lunges across the floor or whatever, mm-hmm. and I'll walk by somebody who's here every Tuesday night, and I'm like, if I was doing this wrong, they'd tell me, right? They would say something.
It all depends on the relationship you have with the person.
And the trainer.
The trainer, more importantly. Yeah. There are certain trainers in here that if their client is doing something wrong, I have no problem speaking mm-hmm. up and saying something. Mm-hmm. And it's vice versa. You know, yeah. if they see my client doing something or moving something incorrectly, mm-hmm. they have no problem speaking up and saying something. But we have that type of relationship.
True.
I'm okay with that from any trainer in here. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to yell across the room and tell you you're doing your squats wrong, more power to them.
Sit back.
Get your shit together. Yeah. You know what you need to be doing and
sit
how you're supposed
to do
it.
Sit under your heels, Brubaker.
Yes, yes. I would encourage it because then it would encourage them. It would feed the environment and the atmosphere mm-hmm. that I would feel like would help everyone in here yeah. thrive.
It's like camaraderie.
It is. It is. Yeah. But there are egos. There are egos in here, and some people will feel like you're stepping on someone's
True.
Toes.
True.
You know, I did have to, I had to challenge someone when I first got here, my mm-hmm. first couple of months here. There was a specific trainer who was talking to my clients and trying to make corrections with them, but mm-hmm. it wasn't on a, you know, helpful level.
Gotcha.
I felt like it was more on a, this is the new guy. I don't know if it was a hazing type of deal or if it was a just he felt that he was a better trainer than I was because he had been here longer and he knew more than I did. But, you know, my clients obviously came back to me and told me about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like he overstepped his boundaries at that time.
Okay.
It was a conversation that we had. I confronted him about it, let him know that it wasn't okay, and that was that. I've never dealt with it again.
Okay.
But I get people like to test the limits,
yeah.
you know, see what they can and can't get away with, see
yeah.
what you're really made of. This was 4 years ago when I was, my first month or two in the building, so it is what it is.
It is what it
yeah.
is.
It is what it is.
So, besides, I mean, I know that you, I know, and I think it would probably be pretty obvious that you spend a lot of time working out because, you know, it's
yeah.
part of your passion. Besides
yes.
working out, what do you do for self-care?
Oh, man, that's interesting. All of my self-care usually comes with some type of activity.
Yeah.
Basketball, hiking.
Okay.
I'm a sports junkie, so I guess watching sports can be self-care. It's
okay.
a way for me to unwind.
Yeah.
That's why the quarantine really had me struggling. There was nothing
no
to
sports.
Watch. No sports
no
to watch.
Sports.
So you put me in the house. I can't go to the gym. I can't go play basketball. It's too hot to hike. And the only thing that I can do is
paint your house.
Yeah. Which we did. Which we did. Paint and remodel the house. So we got three bedrooms in the house taken care of, a bathroom, garage got cleaned out. So time had to get filled somehow.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense to me that, you know, most of your self-care is movement-based, and I think, like, I personally think that there's a little bit of a difference between I'm going to go lift weights in the gym and I'm going to go for a hike in the sunshine.
Yeah.
So that's different for me. I also, like, I would be so excited if you're like, Jessica, I'm going to start meditating every day.
That would
bring me so much joy.
That would never be a bad idea.
I love meditation.
That would never be a bad idea. It's something that, just like working out, you have to dedicate the time to. You have to commit to doing it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I've just recently started reading.
Ooh.
I'm 17 days in.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you reading?
It's Rick Warren, A Purpose-Driven Life.
Okay.
It's a day-by-day, 40 chapters, 40 days reading of what's your purpose in life. So I'm 17 days in, and this is something that I'm trying to create a habit of. So
I have a good a couple of recommendations for you.
Absolutely.
When you're done, I really like Simon Sinek. Are you familiar with him?
I've heard the name before.
He,
yeah.
I'm not even sure what his actual job is. Like, I think that he's like a corporate trainer. Like, he goes, corporations hire him to come do like leadership training
okay.
or something
yeah.
like that. So he has a couple, but Start With Why, I think you would really like.
Okay.
I think it's a little like similar to Find Your Purpose kind of a thing.
Write that down.
Simon Sinek is legit. I love that guy. I follow him on social media too.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Big fan. I think that's cool though. I've always been a big reader, but like you fall off of it in adulthood because
life.
Yeah. Life. Because there, I mean, and also, I don't know, I don't think that we do a very good job at this juncture in our history of just being still.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Not. Yeah. It's always what's the next spit of stimulation that I can find that's gonna keep me going.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, getting from one appointment to the next, whatever it is there's always something happening.
Yeah.
Always.
No, I feel that. So I've created this, like, this is a pretty, I don't do listen to podcasts very frequently.
I've heard a few here and there, but I won't say I do listen consistently.
So this is a pretty common thing to do on podcasts, I think. And also, I really, like, it's one of my favorite part of the podcast. So I'm like, oh, I'm totally doing that. So I've created this, like, random list of questions that they're just about, like, insight into your personality. It's just, and I think also a little bit of, like, oh my goodness, I struggle with sleep. Maybe I can try that kind of a thing.
Right.
So are you cool if I ask you my random questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So my first question is, how do you wake up in the morning? And so I don't necessarily mean like what time do you get up? I like sort of am asking about your morning routine, but like how do you wake up in the morning? Are you like, let's go, do you snooze 15 times? Like, what does that look like for you?
I'm not a morning person.
Okay.
At all. That's just never been me. Mm-hmm. You know, if I could start my day at 9, 10 o'clock, I mean, I technically could.
Yeah.
Get myself into that since I can make my own schedule.
Yeah, but except on Saturdays, I want you here at 8.
Yeah, so that's a tough one there.
I know.
But I know that in the industry that I'm in, there's going to be that need for people to get up and get their workout in, get it done before work, get it done before the kids have to be at school or whatever so that they can have the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So waking up has always been a struggle. I do not snooze anymore, though.
Ooh.
I do not snooze.
How did you break that habit? I'm curious.
I just one day was like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I realized that I used to set 4 or 5 alarms and they'd all go off. And I said, why not just set one alarm for the time the last one goes off and get that good amount of sleep and, you know, get up then.
Do you know what's so interesting to me? I think that those habits that we have, like, I feel this way for me about working out as well. It's not as simple as, well, you just decide to do it because it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But, like, when it comes down to it, it really is a choice. Like, I don't like the way that I'm doing this, so I'm just going to change. And it's not always perfect. I'm sure that you've, like,
it wasn't
snoozed
easy.
A couple
it
of times.
It wasn't easy when I first started it. It wasn't easy. I was mad at myself for a while. Like, why do I got to get up right away?
Right.
But now I've made a compromise, so I don't snooze, but I don't get out of bed right away either.
Okay.
So I'll set my alarm, I'll wake up, and then when I wake up, I'll spend 10-15 minutes still in bed, just kind of messing around on my phone, kind of getting myself ready.
Okay.
But once that time to get out of the bed is hit, we got to be up, we got to be moving.
Yeah. I actually recently bought myself this light up alarm clock.
Okay.
So it like, you set it for whatever time you set it for, and then a half an hour before it goes off, it starts lighting up, like, really, really slowly. And the idea is it's supposed to be, like, the sunrise, so, like, your body naturally starts to wake up.
Yeah.
So by the time your alarm goes off, you're not, like, being, like, shocked out of sleep. You're like, oh, okay.
Right.
Time to go. I actually quite like it.
That's interesting.
I actually quite
there.
Like it.
Yeah. I have to look into something like that.
Amazon. You can get
love
anything
it.
On Amazon, man.
Right to the door tomorrow.
Yeah, you could order it right now and be waking up to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not actually true, but okay, are you a planner or do you operate out of spontaneity?
I love spontaneity. That's just how I've always done. You know, when it comes to my work and my schedule, yes, everything and my clients have to be planned and this, that, but outside of that, I really just like to go with the flow of how things operate. or whatever happens.
That's a tough way to be in a relationship.
It is, especially when your girlfriend is a planner.
Yes.
It's very tough, and we've had our discussions and our moments where she's like trying to overplan things. Mm-hmm. So I went to New York with her last year in, August, I think.
Okay.
And we had an entire itinerary. I've never done that before in my life. So, like, it was my first time going to New York, mm-hmm. and I'm like thinking about all the things that I want to do, and that's just kind of how I go about it. I wake up, when I get there, I'll figure out what I'm gonna go see today, what I'm not gonna see today, what I'll see tomorrow. No.
That's not how she rolls.
Not at all how she rolls. So, she had the exact time of the train that we should be on to get from her mom's house to the city, what our first stop was going to be, what our second stop was going to be, where she wanted to stop and get food.
Interesting.
It was an entire itinerary. The times, I messed up a little bit just because, you know, I want to take my time and do whatever, but it's a very interesting balance. Yeah. So
I like to, when traveling, I like to have at least one thing planned each day.
Okay.
So that I'm not like just like throwing caution to the wind willy-nilly. One thing planned each day, and other than that, like, we're good.
That's fair.
I think it's an interesting compromise.
It's compromise. Mm-hmm. It's definitely compromise, but mm-hmm. and that's kind of where I'm at. But if it was up to me, it'd be like, so we go to Nebraska to go see, I still have friends and a brother out there.
Mm-hmm.
We went once last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there, and she kept asking me, what are we going to do when we get there? What are we going to do when we get there? What are we going to do when we get there? And I'm like, I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there.
I bet that was really uncomfortable.
She's like, who's picking us up from the airport? I mean, I got three people in mind. We'll see who comes through. Somebody came through. We didn't wait at the airport or nothing, and I knew we wouldn't. What are we going to do when we get there? I don't know.
That makes me so uncomfortable, Dre. So uncomfortable.
She had a great time, though.
Okay, good.
She had a great time. No plan was made. We found something to do on every single day.
All right.
Everything was awesome. So. All right.
Okay. Take some breaths for a second. What is your most consumed beverage? I know the answer to this.
Water.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all day, every day.
What's your favorite beverage?
I don't drink a lot outside of water, honestly. Okay. I mean, I may have a soda once.
And you're not a coffee person.
I'm not a coffee person.
Yeah.
I'll have an energy drink. I think I had my first energy drink last week. That was my first one in probably 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah. If it's not water, it may be some sort of alcoholic beverage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tequila and pineapple juice.
Tequila and pineapple juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's my vacation drink.
Okay.
Cruising or on the beach, my preference.
Okay. If you could get into a time machine and go back to your 16-year-old self, what would you like to say to him? Would he have been a junior? Is that junior with the knee?
That was right. So that would be, I turned 16 2 months after my first surgery.
Okay.
So 16-year-old self, I would have to tell him to trust the process.
Hmm.
Like, things don't work out the way that we dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't be happier with where I'm at right now.
Beautiful.
So it all worked out the way that it was supposed to.
If you got back into that same time machine, this is a weirder question. If you got back into that same time machine and went 10 years in the future, what do you hope life looks like? What do you hope your 10 years from now self is saying to you? Is there something you want to say to him? I know that's a weirder question.
Hopefully he's telling me the same thing. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Everything is going to happen in the time that it's supposed to happen, and everything's going to work out the way that you want it to. So hopefully, you know, I've franchised and have more businesses that I'm owning, and family, kids, the whole works.
The whole shebang.
The whole everything, picket fence and all.
Okay. Oh, I would love a picket fence. I think they're so cute.
Old school.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously. how do you go to bed? Like, what's your nighttime routine? Do you have a nighttime routine? Do you just pass out on the couch?
No, got to be in the bed. Usually watch a little Netflix, watch some TV, just to kind of relax and unwind from the day.
Okay.
And then when it's lights out, time for lights out, I'm usually out. Like, out.
like.
Yeah, like, say goodnight, roll over, and that's it. Okay. It's a wrap. My girlfriend is jealous of how fast I can fall asleep. She'll be mad because there'll be nights where I'm like, man, I'm just like wide awake. I'm not ready to go to bed. And she's like, well, I am. And then I'll roll over and I'll still fall asleep before she does.
Oh, that would make me really mad too. Okay, so final question is, how do we find you? Social media, email, and I mean that question both like if we just, because you post a lot of stuff on social media that's really like inspirational and, right. You know, things like that. So if we just want to follow you, / if somebody is like, that guy needs to be my trainer.
Right.
Like, what's the best avenue?
I'm on Facebook, ProFitnessRx, 3 words, ProFitnessRx, spelled just how it sounds.
Okay.
Instagram, ProFitness_RX, and my email is really long.
Okay. Well, is it okay to get you on Facebook or Instagram?
Yes,
okay.
I can definitely be reached on Facebook or Instagram. Okay. That'd be the easiest way to go.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for being on my podcast. That was really fun. We talk all the time, but we're usually talking about me, so.
Now you get a little bit into my head.
I know. Well, I feel like you haven't let me do that yet.
Yeah. There's some reasons behind that. Maybe but, one day.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you either way, whether I'm in your head or not.
Yeah.
And also I appreciate like all of the guidance that you've given me. The joke, everybody, is that I can't say that I like working out.
Yeah.
But I don't hate it anymore.
That is so much progress.
I know.
That I'll even take it. I'm good with that.
I know. Cool.
So it's always been my pleasure though. So thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Dre. I hope that you found some inspiration and motivation to take a look at your own fitness journey, whatever that means for you. If you liked what you heard, take a screenshot of you listening and pop it on your social. Don't forget to tag @JessicaMBrew so that I can say thank you personally. As a disclaimer, although I am a licensed professional counselor, this podcast is meant to inspire, and it's not intended to be a replacement for therapy. If you are struggling or having thoughts of hurting yourself, please consult with a qualified mental health professional or call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. You matter, and you deserve the help and support. Thank you again for listening. So grateful to be a part of your journey and to have you be a part of mine.